No, this is for the Department of
So you don't have a quorum, but you can take
the forestry, and the other one is, we just need one more semester.
Good, yeah, we'll call the green and those four.
But you're adding them.
Hey, Gary?
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Good morning, everyone. It's March 2nd, 2005. This is the Ways and Means Subcommittee on Human Services, and we're here to first take public testimony on House Bill 5068, and hopefully we'll follow this portion of today's meeting with a work session. We would like to begin by first asking those in favor of the bill's portion relating to the Department of Administrative Services to step forward. And I'm not sure who's going to be conducting that.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Lori Warner, the Acting Director for the Department of Administrative Services. With me this morning is Don Fleming, the Chief Information Officer for the department, and Linda Ames, who is the Deputy for the Budget Management Division. What you have before you is our request for $7.6 million in other funds expenditure limitation for the 0305 biennium to implement the Community and Network Information Consolidation Project. We need the limitation to issue COPs that will be sold later this month for the project that we started in July of last year when the business case was approved for this particular project, and the emergency board discussed this in September and nodded on the program moving forward, as well as the authority to begin building a building which is out next to the print plant for the consolidated data center. The data center will consolidate 12 state agencies' data computing networks into one facility. We will realize cost savings in the long run after the initial startup of this, and to the case of about between $5 and $10 million per biennium, or annually, excuse me, into the future once this is done. But that will be at the probably 07-09 biennium after we've gone through the transition costs that we have here to incur as we get everybody consolidated. We'd be happy to answer any questions you might have specifically about the project at this point.
If you could tell us about the COPs, how much is the are we indebting the state?
The issuance of the COPs in March for the scenic project will be $7.6 million, which is the request you have before you. In the 0507 biennium in our agency budget, we also have additional package to issue additional debt. Eventually, we will issue between $20 and $25 million in debt for the data center in order to do the transition. That's what our expectation is at this point.
Other questions? Representative Hannah.
Thank you. What do you think the rate and what's the term of the COP?
Mr. Chair, I don't know that I could tell you that at this point. Representative Hannah, sorry. I'm not sure that I could tell you what the rate is, market rate is at this point.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, members,
we'd be happy to get back to you,
Mr. Whalen.
Yeah. We can check on that. The rates are they're tax exempt, so they're fairly low. And I believe the department has been having a life of issuing these for between 5 and 7 years. So that would be the term, and because and we expect the payback to be before that.
Okay. Good morning, Senator Carter. Senator Carter.
Lori, tell me, and I know you said we should be realizing savings in the near future, maybe out as far as 2009, but tell me in one what ways or what area do you think that we can these savings will be produced?
Mr. Chair, Senator Carter, the savings are expected to come from about four areas. One is staff reductions in terms of efficiencies, which is 50 to 60% of where the savings will come from. The licensing agreements costs will be reduced, expected to be somewhere in about for about 20% of those savings. The hardware cost on efficient hardware operations is about 10% of the cost, and then there's about 10% that's going to come from miscellaneous type categories. So that gives you a general sense of where the cost savings, the majority coming from staff reductions, as you can see, and a consolidated data center.
Follow up.
How many are we going to be transitioning present employees to that center, or will we you'll be looking for new FTEs?
Mr. Chair, Senator Carter, we will be transitioning current employees that are in positions that are identified that would be going away in the agency. There will be created a separate data center positions that people will compete for, and then folks that our positions will go away. If they don't land a position in the data center, then we'll deal with the situation of bumping and layoff in agencies or attrition. So we expect to use all of those tools in terms of making the transition for the employees.
Senator Carter.
Will this new facility be able to pay for itself, or will you be renting or to other agencies, or how will it maintain itself?
Mr. Chair, Senator Carter, right now agencies pay for those costs within their own individual agencies for staffing, hardware, software, and maintaining their own systems. With the consolidated data center, they will pay rates to that data center that will support the operation of that center, and it's expected to be less in a consolidated form than it was in 12 agencies doing that independently. So it will be self-supporting in that the revenue from the data center will come from the agencies that are utilizing that centralized data computing systems.
Hello, Senator Carter.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think this is an excellent idea, but I just want to give kudos to Lori because I remember she first came into state government, and now she has moved up, and that's... Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This project has probably been in the planning and implementation stage for maybe 4 years and has had a great deal of scrutiny by various committees, either the emergency board or the technology committee.
Correct.
Is this... this fund and this expenditure consistent with all of the basic implementation plan that's already been approved by the legislature?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, yes, it is.
Further questions? Our LFO analysts, Dallas Whelan, your recommendations?
Yeah. Are we going through each section? I mean,
we'll go through each of the three individually.
Great.
We'll
okay. Good.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee. The Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending approval of this request. We're recommending a little bit different approach to dealing with the request. We're recommending approval of the establishment of this new expenditure limitation for the project, and you will see that is Section 5 of the Dash 1 Amendment. That's the establishment of the new limitation. We're also, because of administrative savings and the postponement of purchasing of hardware and software in anticipation of this, the department currently has in its budget limitation that it won't be using because of this project, and so we're recommending that existing limitation be decreased, and that is Section 4 of the Dash 1 Amendment. You'll say, I think the key line there is on line 4 and 5 of the second page, it says, is decreased by 7661, the same amount that we're granting an increase for the specific expenditure in Section 5 for the new facility or the new project. We are taking away from the department's overall existing budget a like amount. We are also recommending the department ask for what's called non-limited authority to pay for debt issuance costs. Legislative Fiscal believes that because of the importance of capturing all the cost data and making sure it's tracked so that we can ensure that the savings are there, that we are proposing that the debt issuance costs be granted, be given expenditure limitation, be subject to limitation, and because of changes in the marketplace and the like, the department feels that $325,000 will be needed for that. So we are recommending approval of an expenditure limitation for the cost of issuing the COPs of $325,000. That would be other funds again.
And COPs?
Certificates of participation, I'm sorry. And that's Section 6 of the Dash 1 Amendment. So for this request, our recommendation is reflected in Sections 4, 5, and 6 of the Dash 1 Amendment. The Dash 1 Amendment, for your information, is pretty much a gut and stuff of the House Bill 5068. We have some standard language relating to appropriations, and this will replace it.
Maybe you can clarify something for me. I have a letter dated January 27, 2005, from Lori Werner making a request for $263,214 of non-limited other funds authority for the issuance costs associated with the certificates of participation, and yet the amendments are showing an amount of $325,000.
Right, and that is because when we went back to the department, we told them we were wanting to put this subjected to limitation. They sharpened their pencils, and changes in the marketplace, plus just knowing that we were going to, if you cannot exceed it once you have the limitation. So they requested a higher amount because of those two things. Generally, it's always been an estimate, and the non-limited, because it's non-limited, then it can be accommodated. So if it went up or down, there was no problem. But this time, we wanted to put a lid on that. And so the department's debt management people have went out to the marketplace and checked again, and they feel it would cost this much. So that is why the recommendation.
Okay. Questions of LFO? Representative Hanna.
Yes. When you say changes in the marketplace, be a little more specific.
Oh.
What do you mean? What changed? Because really our rates haven't changed substantially. Fees for this type of thing shouldn't have changed by any significant amount. And so be specific.
I wish I could, Mr. Chair. I'm going to look to the department here for some help. Greg Jeffries is their COP person. I know we worked with their staff over there, and I think their assumptions had changed. But we did come up, when we went, we visited it ended up being a higher amount from this amount. And I can get back to you with that information.
Is the COP person here?
No.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hanna, I believe that the issue is around the fact that it is moving from non-limited to limited, and when you go to the market, you can't be certain as to what the rate's going to be at the time that you make this request, because they will be sold later this month. I'm not sure exactly what date it is. So it's allowing some flexibility within that for error in terms of if the cost of issuance goes up based on the market change in the rate, the interest rate that we're going to be getting, because that's always a percentage off of the cost. So that's all that's being asked for. I think if the issuance costs are less than this, we would certainly be happy to unschedule that amount so that you have a comfort level there if that works for you.
Okay. Thank you. We've been joined by Representative Schrader. Senator Schrader.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Mr. Chair. Appreciate the committee's indulgence on this particular bill. This is actually not a difficult bill. This is one that I'm sure after we get the report and LFO gives us the analysis that will require little time to move through the process. This is a supplemental bill from, trying to deal with some problems we had last session. It's not a typical policy bill where we'd have lots of questions and want to make sure this is good public policy. This is co-chairs have worked on this. Leadership's on board with this. This should move along probably fairly rapidly and not have to waste a lot of your time. So I think that if it's okay with the chair, we could probably move forward with some alacrity here.
I would be happy to do that, assuming that there's no other questions by committee members. There is. Representative Hansen.
Well, just comment, we don't have a lot else to do.
I understand.
Seeing no other
Mr.
questions.
Chair. And it is difficult for someone coming in and then getting this amendment and have not even ever had any time to deal with it or read it or understand it. When I see elderly rental assistance program in Section 2, line 14, being decreased by $1.1 million, I would like to know why, et cetera. But if the work has been done somewhere else, I take trust in the leadership of our co-chairs, but it is an awkward position for me.
All of those things are true, and I certainly respect our co-chairs as well. But nevertheless, we've been placed on this subcommittee, and if we have questions, it's, you know, we're elected by the people to ask those questions. And so if you have further questions that are of concern to you as to why the account was chosen that it was, then we can ask those questions. If not, we can proceed. It's up to you.
Can someone just briefly explain to me about the decrease in elderly rental assistance?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, if you look at our analysis, oh boy, I thought they had been passed out to the committee already.
No, we have.
You have? Okay. The Department of Revenue.
You did not receive one. It should have been delivered to your office.
I could help
actually,
answer
a whole
that,
packet,
Mr. Chair, if you'd like.
That'd be fine. Senator Schrader.
I'm not as erudite as our learned LFO, but basically these are monies that are left over in these accounts that are in addition to what has been needed to fulfill the needs of these programs. And so since they are not being used this biennium for the purposes of the account, they're available for us to help the Department of Revenue fill a hole that they need to be able to collect money so that we can continue to fund these services for our seniors and the rest of our state. That's basically the short version. It does not in any way impair these programs.
Thank you.
Okay. Senator Munns Anderson?
Yes.
Do you have further questions, or should we go forward?
Go forward.
Okay. So, no other questions relating to this portion of the amendment. We appreciate you presenting this information to us, and we now would call upon Department of Revenue.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Elizabeth Harshenko, Director of your Department of Revenue. I'm here to address sections 1 and 2 of the proposed amendments. Just to give you a bit of background, during the last legislative session, the Department of Revenue was allocated additional resources in order to try to raise a substantial amount of tax in the cigarette tax program and the other tobacco tax programs for this biennium. And part of that money was to be $25 million of that money was to be used to fund the income tax and the property tax programs that we also run. The cigarette tax revenues did not come in as projected, and that created a $20 million gap in our funding for our income and property tax programs. We came to the emergency board in November and again in January with a multi-part plan to fill the gap. The first piece was the department made some reductions in our spending plans and reduced our budget by $5.7 million projected expenditures. Secondly, we asked the legislature for some general fund to replace the cigarette tax revenue that did not come in. We were given $5 million by the November emergency board. We were given $3 million by the January emergency board. The last piece to deal with a $20 million hole from the cigarette tax was to be $6.3 million that would have to be provided by the full legislature. We had suggested that the sources of those dollars be $1.1 million of unused special purpose appropriation that was in our budget that's related to the Elderly Rental Assistance Program. We make payments twice a year under that program in the fall, and all of the payments have been made for this biennium. The legislature had appropriated $9 million last session for the budget for that program, and we only had to use 7.9. So there's 1.1 million that normally would revert at the end of the biennium, and we've suggested that that's available for you to reappropriate for us to use for tax administration. The other piece isn't in the bill. It will be noted in the budget note, I think is the right terminology for that. We administer a program whereby the state pays on behalf of low-income elderly homeowners their property taxes. They're able to defer that payment. The state makes the payment, takes a lien against the property, and then when the property is sold or the qualifying senior dies, the taxes then have to be repaid to the department. That is a self-funding program, and at this point in time, we have more in reserves than we think we need to pay those taxes, at least for the next few years. We're scheduled, typically we're scheduled to move reserves into the general fund towards the end of each biennium, and our proposal was to move an additional $5.2 million out of that reserve into the general fund so that you would have a resource to appropriate to us. And so that was the 6.3 portion of that $20 million piece. And at the end of January, we were scheduled also to generate $10 million of additional revenue from the other tobacco tax program, and this is taxes on everything but cigarettes, tobacco mm-hmm. products other than cigarettes. And at the time of the January emergency board, we were on track to raise the entire $10 million above the forecast. At the end of January, a significant retailer of other tobacco products declared bankruptcy, and we have about $2.5 million of tax attributable to the activity of that distributor that's now tied up in the bankruptcy court. We've been advised by our bankruptcy attorney that it is highly unlikely those resources will come in during this biennium. We are doing everything we can to secure payment of those taxes, but it's most likely going to be after July 1st. So we need $2.5 million of additional resources to make sure we make it through this biennium in the black. And I believe the Legislative Fiscal Office staff, after looking at our senior deferral reserves, felt comfortable recommending that that additional 2.5 also come from the senior deferral reserves. So our request at this point, and we had a letter dated February 25 to the co-chairs, is for $8.8 million, $1.1 million of which would be moving the unused elderly rental assistance appropriation into our general purpose revenue administration account, and then $7.7 million that we would transfer from the senior deferral reserves into the general fund to replace funds that you would appropriate to us out of the general fund for the rest of that request. We are still diligently pursuing other tobacco tax revenues, so we're still going to try to meet our commitment there. On the cigarette tax side, the forecast is down more than $20 million, so we know we won't be able to make that piece up. I did also want to let you know that we responded as quickly as we could to the change in what was happening in the cigarette tax administration and compliance, and it looks like we will not spend $2 million of the $4.8 million that had been set aside for the additional effort. And I'd be happy to answer any additional questions.
Questions from the committee? Okay, Representative Hanna.
Thank you. Given that we're delinquent on the $2.5 million in terms of the collectible revenue, what other uncollected tax revenue from cigarette tax? Is there a history of this kind of problem, and how can we keep ourselves out of that happening in the future?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hanna, the $2.5 million is in the other tobacco tax program. The way that program is set up in law, the dealers are required to file a report to us quarterly and pay tax on the sales activity that they had for the preceding calendar quarter. Bankruptcy is bankruptcy, and that is not something that we can foresee or prevent. It's a federal remedy for businesses that are having financial problems. We certainly have the ability to make our claims, to a certain extent, depending upon when the liability arises, they're given a preferential status under federal law. But we are working with the revenue committees to look at whether there's any additional security that the statutes could provide to assure that the revenues do come in promptly.
follow-up report.
Follow-up. Thank you. So are you suggesting that the $2.5 million is only one-quarter delinquency from that company?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hanna, the $2.5 million is a combination of several different things. We have a the distributor in question is also the subject of a criminal proceeding, and which preceded the initiation of the bankruptcy. There is some unpaid fines. There is unpaid tax for two quarters of retail activity. I think the third quarter of last year and the fourth quarter of last year, and then the tax return is not yet due for the first quarter of this calendar year. So that will be due April 30. The situation is somewhat complex because, as you would surmise from the fact that there's a criminal proceeding pending, the state asserted that this particular retailer was engaging in criminal activity, and a part of that resulted in not reporting the amount of tax that actually was due. So we have asserted liability that hasn't been acknowledged by the company at this point in time. And then because of the timing of the bankruptcy and when the quarterly report was due for the fourth quarter of 2004, that suspended even the amount that the company reported that it owed for that quarter. So what we've done is look at the unpaid fine, the unpaid assessments that we've made, the amount the company has reported but did not pay because of the filing of the bankruptcy, and then the potential loss of revenue in the future if the criminal proceeding results in the company closing down. And that's what that total, $2.5 million, how we got to that total. We are continuing to monitor closely the bankruptcy proceeding, participating in meetings of creditors. We are conferring with the trustee about maximizing the state's potential for recovery of the funds. And at this point, what it looks like to us is mostly more a question of timing. We should be able to recover most of what we assert is due. It just won't come in during this biennium.
We have with us our co-chair, Representative Wayne Scott. Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the committee's purposes, in our co-chairs meetings and we've gone through this and gone through it very complete and feel pretty comfortable with the decisions that the director has made and the collection process that is underway to accommodate that, although some of us may not feel that the collections occur as quickly as we would like. There are circumstances that require it to extend out to the potential two quarters. I've had a lengthy discussion with the director, and I feel very comfortable that the requests that are being made and the decisions that caused not only this bankruptcy and the amount of deficiencies that we have in relationship to that, but also with the deficiency in the tax collection from the cigarettes that was maybe overly ambitious from our prior budgeting process, that the director has provided the information that shows that we're on the right path in how we're doing that, and that maybe our collective aggressiveness in requests for those funds may not be quite as shown in our budget process this next time. And I can assure you that from my standpoint, the department has satisfied me and Senator Schrader that we are on the right track and that we are getting that. And some of this money will be available. It's just this particular fiscal year we won't get it accomplished simply because of the time frames and the amount of time for the bankruptcy court. But I don't think these problems are going to reoccur to us in the future.
Thank you very much. Further questions? LFO's analysis.
Well, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, as the director pointed out, Section 1 of this bill we are recommending approval of. the amendment. This is appropriating an additional $8.8 million to the department for its general tax administration program. Also, Section 2 of the bill decreases the specific appropriation to the Elderly Rental and Assistance Program. These are all for the 03-05 biennium. We're recommending approval of that. Also, the budget report will contain instructions to the department to transfer from that senior and disabled deferral account $7.7 million to the general fund prior to June 30th of this year. In addition, I should point out that we intend to propose in the budget bill for 0507, there be specific language in there that money coming out of that bankruptcy for the other taxes be deposited in the general fund because we're supplanting that. So we're not going to let that rest.
Sure. Okay. Further questions or comments? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Well, you're part of this hearing, and we'll now turn our attention to the Department of Forestry.
I'm sure they'll be brief and to the point, too, Mr. Chair.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Charlie Stone with the Department of Forestry Protection from Fire Program. To my right is Tim Keith, Assistant State Forester for the Protection Division, and to my left, Christina Shearer with the Department of Administrative Services Budget Analyst. The Department of Forestry annually purchases a catastrophic fire insurance policy to help cover the costs if we have a bad fire season. And in the 2001-2002 seasons, we had some very bad seasons. We've made claims against that policy. It kind of shook up the world a little bit in terms of the process. And as a result, in the 2003 session, there was much discussion about whether that insurance could continue, whether it was practical to do so, whether we'd be able to secure insurance. And so there was a budget note to the Department of Forestry to explore that issue and make recommendations back. Also, House Bill 2301 in that session dealt a little bit with the emergency fire costs. And part of that result was a prohibition on the Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund from purchasing or paying for the insurance for the 2005 fire season. The insurance policy runs from April 1st to April 1st, and so it's our current policy is going to expire at the end of this month. And so we've been negotiating to try and get the money for that, but as I pointed out, we can't pay for it in the normal fashion through the Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund this year. There's a policy bill working its way through the Assembly, House Bill 2327, that deals with these issues and in its current form proposes an appropriation to pay for the policy, et cetera, but that's just not going to work through quickly enough. And so the request here is to appropriate $1,350,000 to cover the cost of the insurance policy. If 2327 eventually works its way through the Assembly in its current form, it proposes that the OFLPF, or the Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund, would pay half of that insurance premium. And the Emergency Fire Cost Committee met yesterday and, in fact, moved to recognize that if the bill passes, that they're prepared to pay half of that premium, or in effect, pay back half of the cost that we're asking for today. The negotiations have proceeded with the various insurance carriers. We've gotten commitments for all or nearly all of the policy and are not worried about getting the rest of it here in these next couple of days for a premium of $1.25 million. There's taxes and fees that can't be determined exactly at this point, but they'd be in the range of $91,000. And so that gives us the rounded up amount of $1,350,000. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? I have one. The question is, why is it, my understanding is we have a $25 million deductible and then $25 million of additional coverage after that amount. In the last 30 years, there's only been one time where a cost for a fire season exceeded $25 million and never over $30 million. Just wondering, why was it decided that we needed to have $50 million? I mean, why an additional $25 million instead of some lesser amount?
Mr. Chair, in fact, you're very correct about all of that. The 2002 fire season, we actually spent $60 million in emergency firefighting costs. A large portion of that was reimbursed by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, and another big chunk by the Forest Service because we were fighting fire on national forest lands. You're right that our costs have not exceeded that amount very often, but that demonstrates that it's very possible. If those fires had occurred on different properties, those expenses might well have been the state's. And so we're try to design coverage that will cover the foreseeable catastrophic fire season.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. Our LFO representative on this issue is Susie Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending approval of the request with the understanding that if House Bill 2327 identifies that other sources of funds be used to pay for the insurance policy, that the general fund be repaid.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair.
Okay. A comment before we close the public hearing.
Senator Chair. I'm prepared to give you a motion if you're ready.
We'll need to first let's close this public hearing and then we'll open up a work session. Okay. All right. Okay, so at this time, our public hearing on House Bill 5068 is closed, and at this time, we will open a work session on House Bill 5068.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Carter.
I move House Bill 5068-1 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Amendments first?
First, you have to.
I'll move the amendments. I'm sorry. Move the amendments to House Bill 5068.
Okay. Senator Carter has moved for the approval of the amendments to House Bill 5068-1. Are there any objections to accepting the amendments as presented? Seeing none, amendments to House Bill 5068-1 have been accepted.
Mr. Chairman.
Now we entertain a motion on the bill itself. Senator Carter.
Move House Bill 5068 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation
as amended. Senator Carter has moved that House Bill 5068 as amended be passed from the subcommittee and referred to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Are there any objections to this motion? Seeing none, it is passed. And at this point, we will conclude.
Need a carrier.
Oh, a carrier.
I don't mind.
Pardon?
If you want me to, I don't mind.
Okay. Senator Carter will be carrying this bill to full committee.
In the House? Who would carry it in the House?
And it doesn't matter. No.
You'll carry it in the Senate?
Yeah.
I'll carry it to the House.
Thank you.
And so with that, this work session is concluded.
Thank you.